on the phone right now. Also curious about this. Businesses, something happened called the pandemic. So you're running a small business and then things turn absolutely upside down. And on the phone from Old Town, Steve Crater, the owner of O'Leary's Public House. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you, my friend?
I am good. Thank you. It's good to talk to you on WGN.
Yeah, so thanks for having me.
Walk me through this. I know the Chicago Sun-Times recently included you in a story, but I can do more on the radio than they have ability to do in print. So walk me through this. The pandemic hits. At what point in time did you say, you know what, we can't stay open? Or was that the government who told you can't?
The government shut us down for 3 months, starting March 16th. We were about getting ready to open on June 6th.
Okay, don't go there yet. So March 16th, was that before? Because after all, you are O'Leary's Public House. Was
right.
That before or after St. Patrick's Day?
Right before St. Patty's Day.
Oh,
so
no.
Ton of inventory.
Yeah, yeah. So all of that inventory is where? Kind of going to waste or stored?
Well, fortunately, most of the companies were pretty understanding. The liquor people wouldn't take anything back, but the beer guys took everything back and gave me a credit so that when we did open in the future, I wouldn't have to have any expense for the beer, and because the beer wouldn't have held up for 3 months, you know.
No, it would not have. Although,
no.
If you were looking for volunteers to come in and help, I would have been available, Steve. All right. So that happens for 3 months. Did you have to lay off employees?
We didn't lay anybody off. We got some help from the federal government, which we didn't have to pay back. It was a grant, a one-time grant.
Mm-hmm.
We started a GoFundMe page, and we had a lot of loyal customers that were very generous. And I was able to get each of our employees $1,500 to help them with their rent and utilities and things like that. Obviously, there wasn't any work. And we planned to reopen on June 6th, and the city mandated that we had to seat people outside, and we had to close at 9 o'clock, and they had to be 6 feet apart.
Except
we're small enough and agile enough, and the city was kind enough to let us expand our patio. So I ordered two huge tents, and then I invested in some electric heaters so that we were able to get through at around June 6th. Unfortunately, the George Floyd protest happened, and we got all looted and broke all our windows and TVs and mirrors. And all the liquor that we bought in for St. Patty's Day was stolen. They were in and out for like 6 hours all night long.
Hmm. And so that must be frustrating from wherever. Were you actually watching this happen from a camera?
Yeah, I was watching it on a camera, but there's nothing I could do. I called my police friends. They said they were stuck at Trump Towers, but they'd send a car over. Well, the car would show up, and everybody scattered like cockroaches. And as soon as the car had to go somewhere else, they'd come back.
Why were they stuck at Trump Towers?
I guess there's a lot of protests there.
Pardon me?
There's a lot of protests there. You know, they were trying to protect Trump Towers.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they were trying to protect the property. All right,
right.
We will continue with the story because there's much more to it for sure. It is 2:15 on WGN. Steve Crater is on the phone. The name is O'Leary's Public House. They are in Old Town, and we're talking about the ups and downs, lots of ups and downs, mostly downs, up until now, of the past year and a half or so. So at the point in time when we broke for commercials, as we tell the story, where was the social unrest that occurred, and the fact that so much was taken, so much was destroyed, did you ever think, you know what, I am going to just call it quits at that point, Steve?
Yeah, I did. But I'm glad we didn't at this point. You know, in hindsight, if there was any upside to it, the insurance company covered everything and turned a lot of inventory into cash that was much needed to get us through.
Hmm.
So that might have been a little bit of ray of light there.
Why did you decide not to throw in the towel? Because I know other restaurants and bars not far from you. In fact, all over the city, all over the country,
yeah,
have said, I'm just calling it quits.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just don't like giving up, you know. It probably would have been much easier than the road we went through. But at this point, I'm glad we didn't. I mean, we're stronger and better than ever. We've got we made a lot of new friends through the pandemic, a lot of new customers, and I still have my full staff. Some of my people have been with me 20 plus years.
Wow. All right. So you have the social unrest that happens, and then there's a new wave of the pandemic, and things get worse all over again. And
right.
At that point, you're thinking whatever you're thinking. I don't know what, but you're not open, or you're barely open.
Barely
or open. Yeah, and open outside, maybe.
Right.
But things were really
breaking even. And, you know, to do outside in November and December and January in Chicago is really quite a task. But people did it. You know, we had blankets made and
did you really?
Huddle up. And, you know, they were just happy to have something be open, you know.
So you were responsible for people cuddled up, you said, with blankets. Are you responsible for some romances, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe we had some special blankets made.
Special blankets?
Pandemic.
I see. Pandemic aphrodisiac blankets? Is that what they were?
Right. Yeah, we were selling them for $15, and we gave all the money to Gilda's Club, which is right next door to
yeah.
us.
How nice. All right.
Yeah.
So
it was a good neighborhood tie-in. You
yeah.
know?
Do you think the neighborhood became closer, the businesses in the neighborhood, as a result?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got a lot of help. The day we got looted, all the windows were broken, and all the neighbors turned out and helped us clean up.
Oh.
And the people who own GT Fish on the corner had a handyman because I called board up services and nobody would answer my calls. And they went to Home Depot, got boards and boarded us up. And he had a buddy who did glass and he came out and measured it up. So within a week of the looting, we were back to looking almost normal.
Wow. Wow. And so, you weren't alone. I mean, so many businesses all over, whether they be restaurants or other type of businesses, all over the city. Managed somehow it's resiliency. And, you know, everyone talks about, appropriately so, the first responders. And everyone talks about the healthcare workers, appropriately so.
Right,
but
absolutely.
I'm telling you, people like you, just a small business guy who's been in business, how many years has O'Leary's been there?
We opened there in 1992, so a long time, 28 years or so?
Well, you know, what people may not know is that in the restaurant business, 28 weeks is a long time for some.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so that's pretty incredible.
You know, Stephen, all I ever wanted to be was a neighborhood bar, and that's exactly what we are, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that brings us to where we are today. The neighborhood bar reopens Friday this past week. Everything is, well, you'll tell me, is it back to normal?
It is. People are still a little apprehensive, but we are busier than we've ever been in our existence.
You know, I think
partially because we're one of the few places open.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. So what do you mean you're one of the few places open? Are the other bars and restaurants around you closed?
Before the pandemic, there were six of us within two blocks doing similar things, and now it's just myself and one other place.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
kind of depressing in a way.
It is kind of. I wish people would get back and try and open, but I think people are still testing the waters, you know.
I understand. And I also believe there's a pent-up demand for a lot of things, including it's as if we didn't eat for a year and a half during the pandemic, and everyone wants to go out to restaurants now. It's
exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And all my friends in the restaurants are having trouble getting help. Because so many people have left the business. I know I was talking to the chef at GT, and he only has three servers, so he can only take so many reservations. He can't find the help.
So how are you handling this increased demand?
You know, I was fortunate enough to hire a few people I was able to find. I just got lucky that way, I guess, you know.
Why is it so hard to get help if people need jobs? Is it, you know, so I think there are a couple of possibilities here, and you'll tell me. One is that restaurants, frankly, not you, of course, but restaurants in general just don't pay enough money. Another possibility is that people are still afraid. Another possibility is I'd rather get unemployment because I'm not doing bad getting unemployment.
That's and
another
exactly
another
right.
another possibility with is childcare, you know. So
right.
which of those or all of those do you think?
I think it's a combination of all, especially the unemployment. You know, if you can get $800 a week to stay home rather than work. I know pay has gone up. Almost everybody is paying close to $15 an hour now. So,
but that's still not Steve, a lot of money. Do you think restaurants?
No, it isn't.
So, how do restaurants get to the place where they pay people more?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, and I see us escalating, especially in the kitchen. You know, the servers they do okay because people, Stephen, doing this have been so generous. It's not tipping; it's like over tipping. It's crazy how generous everybody has been.
Yeah, we were doing that too, and I'm sure we're not alone. So tell me a little about O'Leary's Public House. You said a neighborhood bar. Tell me what the features are at O'Leary's Public House, which I must, in full disclosure, say I have visited many times. So tell me, because it's right near Anti-Cruelty Society, which is on Grand and LaSalle, and you are where?
We're on Wells in between Ohio and Grand. We're 541 North Wells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just getting back to our full menu. I know you love the Irish stew, and we're just getting back to that. We went to, because of the way everything was, we went to a very shortened menu. We're having trouble getting supplies. I mean, beef was in short supply, chicken, even beer at some point. A couple of weeks ago, we couldn't get Miller Lite in bottles.
Well, that's a crime.
Yeah, it is. It's just...
I did not know this. Maybe people do, but I don't. Why are chicken and beef in short supply? And is that the reason why at the supermarket the price of these things have gone up?
That's exactly why you're seeing it. A lot of these processing plants were either shut down or working half speed, half staff. So it's supply and demand. Same with the beer and same with liquor. You know, you don't know what they're going to have and what they're not going to have. It's crazy right now.
All right,
But it is getting better. You know, I feel very optimistic at this point, you know.
I do, too.
I'm glad we stuck with it.
Well, I'm glad you did, too. O'Leary's Public House on Wells Street in Old Town. Steve Crater, thank you so much, and I appreciate you talking to us.
Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate you having me.